Amen. Where it can give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Who is all? That's sinners as well. Amen. So that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You see what I said about my dad? When he went to work, he took Jesus with him. When he was wherever he was, he represented Jesus Christ. His speech, his actions, the way he handled himself, everything represented. He became a light to Fred Bowers. So much so that he lit Fred Bowers' light up. And Jesus said that's the way we're to be. When we're around sinners, do you hide your light? Do you hide your Jesus? No, you put him on the candle stand. You let it shine out so that everybody in town knows who you are and what you're about. Amen. Amen. Many times the word emphasizes the importance of love in our lives. Jesus said this, or Paul wrote this under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and said, do everything with love. Everything with love. That is, whatever work you do, do it with love. Oh my goodness. I've got to mow this grass again. I'm going to do it, or I hate doing it. No, I'm going to love doing it. Amen? Amen? Do it with love. Your neighbor's over there watching, and he's watching how you're singing praises to the Lord while you're mowing your grass. While you're digging in your garden, the neighbor is listening to your whistling the tune of glory to Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. While you're changing that transmission, Brother Tom in there at Hoffman's, the guy and the next, the mechanic and the next, he's listening to what you're listening to, and he's seeing what you're doing. And when the ratchet slips and the knuckles get, you said, glory! Amen? Brother Louis, when Sally burns the evening meal and offers you a burnt sacrifice, you go to the table and say, oh, thank you, Lord, my wife loves me so much that she's offered me a sacrifice. Glory. Sally never burns anything. I'm picking on you, Sally. You get the idea. What all we do, whatever we do it with love. Where's that remote? Honey, where did you hide the remote? Honey, I love you. Have you seen the remote lately? You see. Instead of stomping around the house and rattling the newspaper, got to get up out of this chair and change the channel. When you're driving down the road, do it with love. Hello? I've got to the place where, you know, people go by and they're in a hurry and they're rushing. They bridle on you. They go by and say, bye. Have a fun day. I did lay on the horn with a fellow the other day. I have to admit. But I laid on the horn with love. There's a car coming right at me on the other side, and he was a flying, and he almost took the front fender off my truck trying to get in. And with love, I want to tell you, brother, you need to slow down. You need to be careful. I don't want to come to your funeral, whoever you are. See, I did it in love. Living beside your neighbor, you do it in love. Dealing with your relatives, Anybody got some cantankerous relatives? Just Jacob and Sherman and me and Beth. Got some cantankerous relatives. They never, you know, I was talking to somebody recently about their Christmas, and they told me, we never get together with my brother because they're a rough bunch and we don't like them. So we just don't get together. I said, oh my. It may not always be easy to love others, but if you are the Christian, it is your duty. Your duty to love the sinner. Not judge them. Let your light shine before them and love them. Anger and hate are not the ways of Jesus. Amen. So number one in what Jesus is telling us to deal with sinners is, don't judge them. Be a light to them and love them. Secondly, Jesus showed mercy to those caught in sinning. Listen to this story from the Bible. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that should be stoned, that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "Who is without sin among you? Let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Boy, aren't we prone to say to that sinner. I remember years ago, another preacher and I, a brother from Alabama, he and I were out in the mountains of South Carolina, right on the Tennessee border, and we were witnessing door to door, house to house, going from one to the other. And we came to this house, and there was a fellow in the house that we began to witness to, and he was an alcoholic. He had just sold. He told us, sitting at the table. We were sitting at the table with him, witnessing to him about the Lord. And he loved moonshine. And he said, "I just sold the shoes off my little baby for 50 cents to get another drink of moonshine." And the brother from Alabama looked at him and said, "Man, you're not even fit for hell." I said, "Whoa." The gentleman began to reach behind the door. There was a shotgun sitting back there. And I said to the brother with me from Alabama, "Get out the door. I'm going to talk to this man. Put that gun back. You're not going to have... He's leaving." I didn't say that. But you see, he jumped to condemning him right away. Was it nice that he didn't? Absolutely not. Would I have done? Would Jesus? No, nobody that I knew of would take the shoes off their little baby and hock them for 50 cents to buy more moonshine. Well, he was just like the woman that was taken in the act of adultery. It was not our business to condemn him. Whose business is it to bring conviction? The Holy Spirit. What we are to do is to what? Not judge. Love. Let our light shine. And let the Holy Spirit do the work. Jesus showed this sinner woman overwhelming, astonishing mercy and undeserved grace. If it had been a lot of church people, they'd have said, "Hey, take my coat off, give me some stones. Bible says stoner, so here we go." Some old sinner comes staggering in the door. Drunk. I mean, what in the world is he coming to church like that? You see, Sister Irene Baker sitting back here. Her hubby was an alcoholic. She had had her fill. Two brothers got a hold of him one night while he was drunk. Where do you think they took him? Calvary Temple to church.
Hallelujah.
When the altar was called, was given, they one got on each side of him and walked him down to the altar. Got him down before the Lord and he prayed through.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. And after that, the Lord called him to be a preacher. Well, praise the Lord. See, what did they? Did they judge him? No. They let their light shine. They loved him. And instead of condemning him, they tried to help and did so by the grace of God. Just like Jesus. Jesus does not give her a free pass, though. You remember what he said here? She cannot go on sinning and doing the same old thing. What does he say to her? Go and sin no more. John 5:14. Jesus told the lame man, remember that story about him? He was alongside the pool of Bethesda, and every time he wanted to get in, the angel troubled the water and he couldn't get in because somebody else stepped in before him. Jesus come along, told him to take up his bed and walk. He was healed. He got up, took his bed and went home. Jesus saw him a little later, and this is what Jesus said to him. See, you have been made well. Sin no more. Lest a worse thing come on you. So it's our duty to share with that individual who has come to Christ. That sinner who has come to the Lord. Don't go back to the same old thing. Don't keep on doing the same old thing. Sin no more, or a worse thing, Jesus said, will come upon you. So he's making it very clear. I'm not condemning this lady. I'm saying to her, your sins are forgiven. I do not condemn you. If anybody had the right to pick up a rock and stone her, it was Jesus. He was pure. He was righteous. In every sense of the word, he could have stoned her, but he chose not to. He chose to embrace her. He chose to forgive her. And then he very wisely said, go and sin no more. As he said to the lame man, don't do it anymore because the worst thing may come upon you. Jesus doesn't condone the sins of sinners, but he also doesn't condemn the sinner. Sinners are miserable. How many know it? They're miserable in their sinning, and already they're under condemnation. What they need is love and grace and light to show them the way to freedom. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
And last of all, Jesus always revealed the truth to sinners. He didn't cover over the truth of God. You know, the truth will set you free. That's what he said. When you know the truth will set you free. When you're talking to the sinner, when you're shining your light, when you're loving the sinner, you never cover over the truth of God's Word. You stand for what's true in the Word of God, because that's what will set them free. Jesus was always clear about the truth, even when it wasn't popular. Listen to this. Many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about his teaching, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I've said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father." He was teaching some truth here that was hard to swallow. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." I'm telling you, not every sinner is going to accept the truth that you give them. The world doesn't want to hear the truth. The sinner doesn't want anything to do with the truth. The only thing that will convince them is your light, your love, and your non-condemnation. When you're reaching out to them, never cover the truth. When they say, "What must I do to have what you have?" you have to say, "Repent." Yes. Repent and accept Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins, and thou shalt be saved. Go and sin no more.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Not everyone will receive the truth. Many will reject it. Jesus' followers went back and walked with him no more. These are people that saw the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead be raised. And yet after he taught them the truth, they walked away from him. There are people today in churches that if the truth were preached from the pulpit, they'd walk out the door. They don't want to hear it. That's the way it was with Jesus, but he didn't color it over. He spoke the truth in sincerity. Jesus wasn't just trying to build a large following. He was on a mission to share both truth and love with sinners. The crowd didn't leave him because he was rude and judgmental, but because they rejected the truth of God's Word. Always stand for the truth, but do so with grace. Listen to Peter in 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear."
Amen. Hallelujah.
Bless God, I'll tell you a thing or two about the Bible. No. with meekness and with fear. You're dealing with eternity with somebody. Sinners will not always accept what you stand for, but what you stand for, but stand regardless. Amen?
Amen.
If the world hates you, you know that it hated me, said Jesus, before it hated you.
Amen.
You must declare the truth for the sinner's sake. Listen to Paul in Acts. I declare today that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it is not my fault. For I didn't shrink from declaring all that God wants you to know. Too many are watering down the gospel today.
Yes.
They want to get people in. We've got to have the crowd, so we'll not talk about that. We'll water it down. There was a preacher that left a Pentecostal church in our area some years ago. Started a new church the other side of town. And I found out later that when they organized this new Pentecostal church, the instructions in their bylaws was that nobody in the church is to speak in tongues or to give prophecies or anything like that. We don't want to scare anybody away. The truth is the truth. Paul said, I stand for it and I deliver it faithfully. And if somebody walks away from it after I've shown them the light, after I've not been a condemnation to them in their hearts, and after I have given them my love, if they walk away from it, then it is not on my hands. Evangelist Matt Brown, founder of Think Eternity, states this. We shouldn't be surprised by times of declining Christianity. If the crowds left our Lord Jesus because of hard teachings, there are bound to be times like this for us as well, even in America. So no more angry judging. Offer overwhelming, astonishing mercy to sinners, but don't hide the truth or be afraid of the crowds scattering. What's your attitude about sinners? I can almost guarantee you that this week you're going to run into a sinner. You're going to run into several sinners. Now don't go saying, "Oh, I go to the breakfast table and there's another one." Oh, you got me there. What is our attitude toward these people? How are we going to deal with them? Brother John, they come in your garage all the time. Sinners. What are we going to do with them? How are we going to deal with them? What's our method and mode? You hear this message. You don't condemn them. You shine your light in front of them. You love them. You lead them in the light. And you tell them the truth.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit does the convicting. If a lot of them walk away from you, that's expected. They don't want the truth. But there'll be one here and there, like an Eric Peel that walked in this church 27 years ago, 25 years ago, and he's still here. Praise the Lord. We told him the truth, but we didn't condemn him. I could have, when he walked in the door, said, "Get that air ring out of your ear, boy. Go home and get you a pair of breeches on that suitable to go to church. And that long hair, man, that's got to go." No. He said that happened at some. But we brought him in. He came in. We didn't condemn him. We loved him. Let a light shine in front of him. Oh, Brother Shiflett, let his light shine to him. And we shared the truth right here.
Right here.
The Holy Spirit did the work. That's our attitude towards sinners. So let's, when we leave here this morning, let's leave with a praise God. I can't wait to find me a sinner. Amen.